All right, folks, welcome back to another edition. As always, we got the big man. We got Vince. Boys, how we doing?
Good. Got invited to golf tomorrow, so I'll be out there.
Where are we playing?
I'm ready. Got invited to play Idlewild tomorrow.
Oh, who invited you?
The old Chuck Wagon. Got last minute invite. Someone must have dropped out. Well, or he's invited me because I did his grips yesterday, which, by the way, I totally forgot how therapeutic that is to, like, re-grip clubs, man. It's like you're in your own little world element, just doing your own thing. It was great. I enjoyed it last night.
Hold on a second here. Did Vince, did you get left out of this group?
I did, and I am the one that taught Robert how to do grips. And the old Chuck Wagon is like, oh, we got to have you guys out there. It's like one of those typical Southsiders. Like, you know, you see them and it's like, oh, yeah, we got to go do this. And then you don't hear from them for like a long time.
And you showed Big Rob how to do grips. You got trumped for grips. And then you got left out of Idlewild.
But you know what? It's okay. Because things have been, I mean, things have been rough around here late with Shelly's surgery. Like, she does a lot around the house. I may make fun to get a few chuckles out of everyone, but she does a lot around the house. And, like, keeping the ship going is difficult. And then even taking the boys to, like, practices this week, it's not even a full schedule, just driving up and down all over the place, putting stuff in the oven, shoveling it out. And today I was finally like, I'm not doing the dishes. So, like, I've had this clean kitchen all week long, clean front room, but I'm just like, screw it. I'll just do it in the morning. It's just like, it's rough in here. I tell you, it's rough.
So I did see how you did Shelly's hair the one day. And you don't have girls. So we could just put it that way. I could see how that is, but it was a nice job.
Yeah, I'm going to be working for Mario Tricosi when the Cubs are in town this year.
It was a side pony. It looked really good. It was a nice job, man.
Well, that was, you know, because you got to layer the hair. Like, you can't just, like, well, let me tell you, first of all, women in the bathroom is like a fire hazard. Like Shelly's, you know, it's like smoking, like drying her hair out and like the straightener, like whatever it is. I'm like, this is just wrong. Like, the house is going to burn down.
How did we get to this point, by the way? We talked about you getting left off from Chuck Wagon's group. We're talking about ponytails, but I agree with you. I moved downstairs to the downstairs bathroom. I go to the bathroom in that bathroom. That's it. Refuse to shower, brush my teeth, anything like that up there. It's like you said, it might as well be a walking fire hazard up there. Let's jump right in. Did the boys catch any of the final of the Valspar and Mr. Malnati's, stepping foot into the winner's circle again?
I didn't watch most of it at all. I mean, I did see him play 17 and 18 just to catch the ending of it, see that Cameron Young wasn't going to win it. His speech was great. You know, his interview afterward was great. Kind of see the emotion and see those guys that they call the mules or whatever you want. You know, they still have, they can win. Like Vince always says, anybody can win on any given day on the PGA Tour, which is, you know, what makes the PGA Tour great. But I was more concentrated in basketball, sadly. So, but I didn't catch most of it, like I said.
I was definitely going back and forth a lot. I do like shout out to Shotgun Start, how they call him Peppy Peter. I just that's kind of a good nickname. So I was watching it and I just enjoyed that golf course. You know, it's one that I've never played before, but just watching it throughout the years, I kind of feel like that I have played it like a time or two. But it's always a fun watch for me. It's not an easy course. That's kind of what I like watching these guys play most of all.
Yeah, same. I caught just the end of it, like Rob, maybe the last four holes, but I thought the speech at the end was the best. You could tell, super emotional. Didn't know if he'd get back there or not. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to see, you know, especially with, you know, now he's got a kid that's at least old enough to, you know, realize what just happened. So that's pretty cool for, you know, him down the road to kind of look back on that.
I didn't realize that was his caddy's first win too, wasn't it?
That I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that's what was the case. That, you know, he's been caddying for what, 20 years, and that was his first one.
Really?
And that was his first win in like 8 or 9 years.
Right? 9 years, yeah, nine years.
9 years,
yeah.
Like that.
He won the Sanderson, right? I thought.
Old Sanderson Farms, yeah. And like that's the thing where like, yes, anyone can win, but there's just so many good guys coming on tour, and when you're like one of these journeymen. Probably just looking at like, here's the next wave coming. It's like, I don't know if I'm gonna win again. And it's just, I don't know, like I thought before, like what mental toughness you have yeah. to be like, I may not win again, but I still need to make a living out here on the PGA Tour. And then you get hot for that week and you're able to, you know, just close the deal. And I like seeing that as much as I like seeing like, well, it's kind of like, you know, the Cinderella stories. I definitely want to see these upsets early in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I want the big dogs in the final game. Kind of same thing for golf. I want to see the top guys up there for the majors with some of these other tournaments during the regular, my regular PGA Tour season. I want to see some of these journeymen just come home and get a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, he touched on that too. He's like, these guys coming out are just so good.
Yeah.
And then to your point, you know, some guys do have, I call it the kids mentality, where they know, you know, if they just play decent golf, they're getting paid. So I guess you could look at it that way. And I guess, you know, when you're a guy who is like kids, who's not very long, knows he only has a couple shots a year. I mean, I that's not the worst thing in the world to do. You know,
get to the Masters for the first time too.
Yeah. And make a decent living. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the parity is just wild. And I think to Malnati's point, like any of these kids coming out could win at any time, which is crazy, but which also makes, you know, the PGA Tour awesome, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, great stories like that. Did we catch any of the round two today of the Houston Open?
Yeah, I did. I had it on for the background as usual. The wind was pretty crazy out there. I can't believe Finau fired off at 62 when everybody else was shooting around even or a couple under, it seemed like. I was, you know, Scotty just doing Scotty things again, and then kind of sucked they did that double bogey on 18 to break a streak. But for what it is, the tournament, it was entertaining today for sure.
And I have played in Houston during this time of year. We used to go down there and play. La Quintera was one of the courses we would play. That's where the Houston Open used to be. And the winds in Texas this time of year are like not to be messed around with. It's kind of fun. I don't know if it's fun to play in, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I have not. I've played golf in Texas, Vince, to your point. I have not caught much of the Houston Open. Maybe a couple holes and then had to boogie. But interesting enough, I didn't know that, Rob. I didn't know Scotty doubled today.
Yeah, it's got on 18. It was just like I caught it really quick. I think it was like he missed a 6-foot putt. It lipped out, and then he went real quick to putt it back, and he lipped it out again. One of those like brain fart things, kind of stuff.
So what did the streak end at?
God, I don't even know. 200. I forgot how many rounds under par, right? And then it was also the consecutive holes, like 200 something holes that he hasn't had a bogey or something like that.
It's so
some crazy stat. But
wow, that's
the other thing about this is like wow. Is Wyndham Clark playing? Like, he has a back issue. Is it, I mean, what does this tournament really mean to that? You know, especially with the Masters coming up and everything. I thought that was kind of weird that he flew out. I caught the interview earlier today because he did that happy hour with, what's his name? I can't forget. Smiley. Did the happy hour with Smiley. And he like started off by saying, yeah, you know, he woke up with a back issue, flew out to Denver to see a specialist to come back for. And then fly back to do the pro-am. And it's just like, what are you doing here? Like, I get obligations and everything, but if you got the Masters coming up, I wouldn't want to risk my back for the Houston Open.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I definitely would not. I mean, this time of year, you're getting ready for the majors and first one coming around. And especially like, you know, Robert, you know, if you get a bad back, that's just a season long.
Yeah.
I mean, you backed out of the Mundus, right? I mean, I was shocked to hear
that. Hey, side note, shout out to the Mundus. Hey, you know who won the Mundus last week, Tom?
No.
Remember that dude that came up to our, Matt Smith? He came up to our booth talking about no laying up. And he said, oh, yeah, he said he's playing in the Mundus. And then we started talking. But anyways, he actually won the Mundus last week.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What, do you know what he shot?
It was a quota game. I think he was plus 3 or 4. So it looked like he had to get 27 points.
Gotcha.
No, but yeah, they had a good turnout. I looking at the forum and all that stuff, the boards, the message boards with Discord, everybody had a great time. I mean, it was pretty cold by the pictures it looked like, but you know, there's a lot of guys that talked about that course that have never played before, and they said how much they liked the Kankakee Elks Club, and it is. It's a great course.
It is really a nice golf course. It is a nice course.
I thought you were just throwing Wyndham under the bus just to throw him under the bus. I didn't know he was injured.
Just being mean.
Yeah, no. It was funny because, you know, he came on the happy hour and Ella came in the garage and she's like, isn't that the golfer you don't like? And I said, well, it's not that I don't like him. I go, he's just, you know. But and then they had Billy Herschel on the first guest at happy hour. That was kind of brutal. I'm like, I can't listen to this. Get him off. Talk about he's too old to wear the prints that Ralph Lauren makes for his pants. Now I'm like, what are we doing here? I don't want to hear about this. I want to hear about the freaking golf, man.
The side note, speaking of stats, did you guys see that Freddie Jakobsen stat? 542
with no three putts, right? I know that's just crazy too.
542 holes. That is bananas. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, I for sure have gone around. I don't know if I've ever gone consecutive rounds without a three putt. I'm sure I have, but at 542 holes, that's insane.
Right.
Wild. I don't know. I love stats like that.
And that's always one of my keys to playing well is no like three putts. Like I've gone like a few rounds without having one, but, yeah, that's crazy to go that many rounds of golf.
Speaking of stats, I am going to test out Unknown Golf tomorrow for the round, which I'm pretty excited for.
Very nice.
You can create separate rounds, you know, like an event. You don't have to have it tied to a community, but it looks pretty cool. You could set everything up with the side games and everything. So
yeah,
I'm pretty pumped for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason. At?
What's that?
Where are you golfing at? Who are you golfing with?
That, to be honest, that's part of the reason we went with Unknown Golf. You know, not only is it exactly what we need and super versatile, but like guys who, you know, our members who are using it, they could also use it the same way that we're using it. So it's awesome. But let's jump right in to the buy or sell. What did we like this week? What didn't we like?
I am selling this week, and I'm selling my beard trimmer. I had a little incident today, and I'm not too happy about. I was planning on growing out my beard. This is great radio, by the way, for those that don't watch this on YouTube. I'm going to Nashville next month for see Morgan Wallen again, and I was going to like let my beard grow really, you know, let it full out. So this morning, I went to go trim it up a little bit, and I was telling Tom, the guard got stuck, and it ripped my hair out and it ripped out her hair. Yeah. So I'm trying to hide it and only doing like a 3 guard because I'm never going to shave my face again, because let's be honest, I need a beard. I'm meant to have a beard. If I don't have a beard, I look kind of, you know, I'm not even going to start with the P, but it's just like,
I feel like once every like 5 or 6 years you shave, you're like clean shaven, right?
Did for the Hawks when they're doing the championship. I don't think I can't remember last time I was full bicked, clean shaved, and I don't want to go through that again. So I'm selling my beard.
About 5 or 6 years ago. So side thing, who are you going to Morgan Wallen with? Like, when's that? Like, you know how much I like country music. The only reason I didn't go last time was I was working.
You're in school. You don't take any days off, man. You're constantly working. Wallen?
Yeah.
Was he playing a Tuesday afternoon or something?
It's a Thursday night.
Well, a couple things. Listeners who are listening to this on the radio, Rob's got a massive bald patch that looks like a Clipper outline. Number two, I'll say it, pedophile. You would look like a huge pedophile with clean shave. Number three, I haven't clean shaved since I know the date. It was in 08. It was like June of 08 is the last time I took a bick to my face. I go low with like a trimmer, right, but I'll never go because I get, you know, whatchamacallit?
Ingrown hairs?
No, all the red bumps and.
Oh, yeah.
you know,
razor burn.
That's the word I was looking for. So I've always just used the beard trimmer clipper. Vince, what are we selling? What are we buying?
So I'm on like vacation this week, obviously. And I was not shaving for like a couple of days. And I was like, hey, you were meant to be handsome. You got to get all those whiskers off there. I just feel better. But I am buying. And do you, like, did your wives or you, do you get like baby carrots ever?
Yes.
Waste of money. You need to get the big, like, Bugs Bunny carrots, like the big ones. Those had
Who had the sale? Is this like a Costco, like bulk? And then you got a freezer out in the garage
It's like $5 for a bag like this big. There's probably like 30 and like, no joke, 30 carrots. They're like a foot long in each one. And I mean, like when I make the lunch for the kids, they'll have a sandwich. Few chips on there. There's usually like applesauce or like, you know, apple slices, something. And then there's always a fruit as well. I just gave them the whole carrot. I like cut off the one end and put it down there. And they're like, what is this? And I'm like, what do you mean? What is this? It's a Bugs Bunny carrot. Like as a kid, we loved getting the big, huge carrots because they have so much flavor, so much more flavor than the baby carrot. Baby carrots have zero flavor. And they bit into this huge carrot. It was like their life was changed. Like you find out what carrots actually taste like. I'm buying Bugs Bunny carrots.
Do you know there's not even a thing as a baby carrot?
Yeah, they probably just get ones. They put them in water and
cut them down.
You should share with Tom your corn, how you eat corn.
Oh, I got a corn shucker.
Really?
I will take
doesn't eat corn on the cob. His kids don't know how to eat corn on the cob. Come on.
Like one of those aluminum can presses, but it's a corn shucker.
Yeah, it's like a little like hollowed out thing with like razors on both sides. Like it'll cut you if you try, you know, if you like touch the blade. You take it right down the ear of corn and all the kernels come off in a neat little pile. Because, I mean, like, a lot of times you're having, like, you know, corn and ribs or other things. You don't want to be picking everything out of your teeth.
Yeah, so but what about, like, what about in the summer? You don't eat, like, grilled corn on the cob?
I do, but then I just shuck off the kernel.
Nah, part of the experience.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, you got to have the experience on the cob.
So you got like kernels all over your mouth.
Oh, you got
butter. First off, let's be honest. When you eat, Vince, there's shit all over your mouth to begin with. So let's not worry about kernels.
Both of your cheeks are just, they're glistening from all the butter from the corn on the cob. And you got like little husks. It's great.
It's one of the greatest things of summertime.
Yeah. Well, when I come over for the halfway season barbecue, I'll bring my corn shucker with me.
There you go. Speaking of food, I'm buying this week and I'm buying something I just sent you guys recently. My buddy at work's been talking this thing up for weeks. And it's the skillet cookie. It's essentially just a log of, you know, Toll House or whatever prepackaged cookie dough that you typically like cut down in cubes and make cookies from. Anyways, he told me he just puts the whole thing in like a 14-inch skillet. And, you know, presses it down like it's pizza dough. So it's flat. And then you throw it in there for like 7 minutes until it's, you know, just barely done, you know, still gooey, kind of like the high school cookies we used to get in high school. You put that in the bottom of a bowl and a couple heaping scoopfuls of ice cream. Man, it was easily a 9 out of 10. If not,
it looked perfect. It looked really good.
It was unbelievable. So I told my wife was like, this is, well, she's also pregnant too, but she was like, this is phenomenal. So I think the skillet cookie is probably going to be a staple in this household moving forward. And I can't wait. So
would you move that to your master's menu?
Do you remember what my dessert was? It's very similar.
I do not.
Brownie a la mode. So instead of the cookie, it's just a warm brownie or hot brownie.
Because I had the ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, we didn't ask what you had on your menu. same concept, right? But
Oh shit!
I would probably keep the brownie. I'm a big, big brownie guy. And same thing. The brownie's got to be like kind of gooey on the inside. Vince, let's talk about your ice cream sandwich for a second. What do you want to say about them? They're great.
I just said,
oh, you know, guys had a rough week.
So I said I've already got the cookie.
Gotcha. All right. Let's
move on to the top three.
Top three. All right. It was my top three this week. And I want to know what your top three golf shots of all time are. And not your golf shots. This is, you know, over the history on the PGA Tour, etc. Let's fire away.
I'll start off if I can get myself together. In the three hole, I'm going Jordan Spieth, 2013 John Deere bunker shot on 18. Forced to play off to get his win. You knew I'm going to go Jordan Spieth. Two, I'm going Justin Leonard's Ryder Cup putt in 99 to win the Ryder Cup. That was awesome. Could watch that over and over again. Just a celebration makes it worth it. And then my one hole, I'm going, I took him as a bet for it. I did. I remember sitting on the chair at my in-laws front room on Easter Sunday watching the Masters and the ticket hitting, and then going to Vegas that same year to cash the ticket for a bachelor party. I'm going with Bubba Watson's hook shot in the 2012 Masters, 10th hole for winning the Masters. So that's my top three.
Very nice. Yeah,
that Watson is one of my honorable mentions, so I'm not going to mention that one. But one of my favorite ones was, and a lot of mine, there's more shots that like lead into it. But Phil, his second shot on 18 at the 21 PGA. And I just like how he kind of like was playing Brooks along a little bit, kind of making him wait out there. Then, you know, all the fans converge on Phil when everyone's got COVID and everything like that. It's kind of sunsetting, the background kind of, you know, was nostalgic to me. So that's going to be in the three hole. The number two hole is going to be at the 99 Ryder Cup at Brookline when Justin Leonard, he made his putt. And then just so many shots like in and around that moment kind of goes into it as well. But my number one, my favorite golfer, Payne Stewart in the 1999 U.S. Open against Phil Mickelson. I had to go back and watch it again today, but he made a huge long putt on 16. On 17, he stuffed one in there, made his birdie. And then just the reaction he had after he made, he had a nice little wedge. And then the putt he made a safe par, but a 20-footer on 18 was just awesome. You know, he jumped into his caddy's arms and then, you know, tossed to Phil Mickelson afterwards. And my honorable mention is going back to the 1998 Masters when Jack Nicklaus was like in his 50s. And like he made this run on a Sunday. I think he shot like a 68 eventually. But to see like what Jack was able to do with it old age is what people saw him do all the time in his prime. And I remember as a kid just watching that, like it was so much fun. And what other sport can you be in your 50s and still compete with guys that are in like their 20s?
I mean, that's like Phil last year for the Masters on Sunday.
Yeah. Just, you know, just these guys, you know, golf's a sport where you can still compete. Like I was out there playing basketball with the boys today. And it's like, I'm terrible. Like I can get rebounds and like shoot in close, but like my shooting mechanics are all way off. But, you know, you could still play golf for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Rob, I have Bubba's. That's in my honorable mention. That was trickling. It was bordering on the three hole. My three hole is the 2002 PGA Championship, Tiger Woods from the bunker, 3-iron. I think people, there's a select few people that know how difficult the shot is over the trees. Do you guys know what shot I'm talking about?
I do. Yes, I do.
It's unbelievable. And it's a 3-iron to, you know, again, it's absolutely out of this world. Number two, you guys wouldn't guess this in a million years, I bet. The next two, by the way, are Masters. Two hole, 2020 Masters, John Rahm skipping it in on 16. I still think it's one of the most insane shots I've ever seen in my life. I mean, honestly, I would give you a full year, one full year to take as many shots as you want. And I don't think you could skip it off the water and get it in the hole on that hole where that pin was that day.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely wild.
I would like to try. I'd like to be out there for one full year and give it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that shot is so insane. And then my number one, I think you guys could probably guess what it is. 2005 Masters, Tiger's chip in, Rob shaking his head. He's a hater. Chip in on 16. Obviously, we all know it's iconic. What's iconic about it is not only the shot, it's the slow roll, it's the call, it's everything about it that makes it what it is. Hands down, number one shot.
And Jax actually, like, we always talk about the show at like dinner, and Jax wanted that to be one of my top ones. He does like watching Tiger Woods clips. It normally starts off with, do you remember when Fluff was testing the wind with his cigarette?
Oh, yeah.
So like, Jax loves to watch that, and then other Tiger ones will come after that. So he wanted me to say that. I also, I feel like one of the greatest calls, I didn't see it live, was the 86 Masters when old Vern Lundquist was like, maybe, yes, sir, with Nicklaus going up. Like, that's one of my favorite ones I never saw.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you didn't go all three, Tiger, Tom.
Me?
I was banking on that one, yeah.
No.
He knew he would have killed him for it, so he probably had it all planned out. I got to throw someone else in there.
I could have. I could probably go, top 10 Tiger. Keep going. Sure. Go for days.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Spieth, and I knew that specifically that bunker shot was going to be in yours. So,
I mean, it's what started his whole career, man.
This is true. This is true. What was he, 19 when he hit that?
Yeah, 19. Yep.
Yeah. Then he went on an absolute tear.
Mm-hmm.
But another great episode, gentlemen. Rob, play well tomorrow. Vince, give me a call if you're feeling down.
I'll be cooking something, cleaning something tomorrow, so you guys just, remember me.
Hey, as always, we'll see you in the fairway.
See you in the fairway, boys.
I'll see you in the fairway, not tomorrow, but one other day, I guess. See ya.